Tim McManus is Vice President for Education and Outreach at the Partnership for Public Service. You and your colleagues at the Partnership, Tim, releasing some new data about the people who are leaving government, not just the people who are coming in or the people who are staying in. This strikes me as particularly useful information at a time when there's a lot of conversation about the brain drain and the government agencies wanting to shape their workforces. That implies to me that they want to have some control over who stays and who goes, and not just mass attrition. What do we learn from the numbers? What are kind of the overarching themes of the numbers that you're coming out with today?
So I think a couple of things. First, you see that the number of departing employees has increased for most years since fiscal 2009. So again, if you look at historical trends, the number of departures has continued to increase. I think the second piece is the number one cause of departures in the federal government, and this is across all of the government right now, is retirement. So that's that, you know, somebody's retiring and they're withdrawing from their retirement fund. They're saying, Time for me to hang it up. The second most likely, and that's more than 50% of the nearly 115,000 people who departed government in 2013. The second most common cause of departure is resignation, and that's almost 35%. So you put those two together, and you're at about almost 90% of the departures are a result of either retirement or resignation. I think, you know, as you begin to look at specifically the second one around resignation, I think you know, those of us or those of you who are in government and our managers, I think one of the keys there is the why piece of that. Why are they leaving? Is it that they're leaving for another opportunity? And it's a great opportunity for them to take. And frankly, there's nothing that you could do in your agency or in your office within a department or an agency could do to actually try to keep that person. Is it that some of those resignations are ahead of the curve, which is the employee recognizes this actually isn't the right fit for them, they don't have the right skill sets, they're actually going to get out? Is it that they're, again, ahead of the curve in another area, which is, you know, my performance is actually lacking, this isn't for me? The, you know, part of the rationale for, or part of what you could read into this a little bit around the termination or removal of employees, which is traditionally really quite low in government, is how many people actually see the writing on the wall, so to speak, and resign before it's time to be terminated or removed. So I think you know, with a lot of data, and that's what this snapshot is just data on who's leaving. Not the why, not necessarily the full picture of why, but I think actually agency folks ought to be looking at this, and it ought to prompt as many questions as it does provide answers.
A couple of data points that jumped out at me when I look, especially at the GS level of people who are leaving. The biggest number, the biggest raw number, is the 1 to 10. Grades in the general schedule, 42.5%. But maybe the most disturbing is that among the highest percentages are the 11s and 12s that are leaving. 16.6% of the departures last year were GS 12s, 13.3% GS 11s, and 13.6% were 13s. I mean, that's your future SESers. Those are the folks that you expect to either be leaders now or future leaders. And if that forms over a third of the people that are leaving every year, Tim, that's not really a good sign.
Yeah, Francis, you absolutely hit the nail on the head with that observation, which is those are the folks you ought to be grooming for, you know, your future leadership positions, whether it's SES or you're at the GS-15 level. Those are the next generation, really, of leaders within the agency. And those three areas, the 11, 12s, and 13s, those are the folks who are leaving at the most rapid rate. So I think that is an issue for agencies to look at. Again, this is a government-wide look. I think agencies need to take from this data and begin to go back and say, okay, so how does this affect my agency? What's actually happening in my agency? Are the trends following what the government-wide view is, or are my views different? And from there, actually begin then to look at different strategies. Is it that at that level, I'm actually not providing that maybe the employee simply doesn't have a line of sight to what's next for them. You know, oftentimes in organizations, both inside and outside of government, you reach a certain point where you begin to go, so what's my next step here? Am I going to be in this step for a long period of time? Maybe it actually is time for me to start looking, time for me to start, again, looking at other opportunities and exploring new things, if I don't see a path forward for me here. So again, I think that maybe some of that at play. But again, as you stated, that's a particular concern, especially if you also look at, and you mentioned this as well, the SES piece, which is the overall percent of the departures. They're only a little over 1%. But if you look at the SES as a whole, a little over 11% of the SES actually departed in 2013. So you've got a good chunk of the SES cadre itself who is leaving. When you're losing 10% or more of your top leadership in a given year, you ought to be taking note of that and figuring out, how am I going to replace that? Some of that may come from outside, although we also know from looks that we've done on the SES, traditionally, that's where agencies are not looking. They're not looking outside of government or necessarily even outside of their agency. They're looking with inside their agency most often. If you're also losing that 11, 12, 13 folks, your bench strength, once again, is in jeopardy.
Observation here, Tim. Tim McManus of the Partnership for Public Service, and it's not based on any empirical data, but it strikes me that part of the problem here could potentially be an issue that you and I have talked about before, as I listened to you talk about people maybe looking at their path to the future. This would seem to be an opportune time for agencies to address the succession and leadership grooming issue and maybe think about ways that they can, by still following policies and procedures that are appropriate, get out of the habit of promoting the most technically proficient person and start looking at people who are real leaders and can provide leadership to people who maybe are their superiors in terms of tenure, but not necessarily in leadership ability.
Francis, I think you're absolutely right. This really does send a signal that we've actually got to pay attention to that group, and we actually have to give some serious thought to how we're developing, either technically or from a leadership perspective, to take on that next role. And again, having very candid conversations and being able to set with the employee also what's that potential trajectory, so that they actually again do have a line of sight to what's going to happen to me in a few years. Again, I think as we see, more and more SES folks leaving, that then requires us to look at what we have at the 14-15 level, and you know, it's kind of the landslide effect then, which is okay. And who are you looking behind that? And who are you looking behind that? And who are you looking behind that? And when you know two of the big groups, you've got the most departures. In terms of percent of overall departures at the 11, 12, and 13 level, the highest percentages of attrition based on just the number of folks in those positions are at the SES and the entry level. So again, you've kind of got the vast majority of your folks in terms of sheer numbers are leaving at the 11, 12, 13s. Those are folks that potentially go on to the next level of leadership. You've also got a good number of entry level folks who are also leaving, who you know need to fill behind those folks who are. So again, at some point you've got to be able to get off the treadmill of simply spinning to try to figure out how you're backfilling and filling the next position in your leadership ranks and get ahead of the curve.
This my fear too, Tim, is that unaddressed, this becomes exponential. That people decide it's getting worse before it gets better. And so 3, 5, 6 years from now, we look at these numbers and they've accelerated and they've compressed toward the upper end of the GS schedule. And that means you're really losing your highest, best talent, the talent you've invested the most time and resources in, faster than you're losing everybody else.
Yeah, and again, I think you know. Thankfully, there are some things that are actually in play now. So, we've got phased retirement that's now at play. That agencies have the ability to look at phased retirement. I think that actually helps address some of this issue as well. So, rather than actually just hanging it up one day, you've got some opportunities to embed some of that knowledge transfer. Again, it's going to also show a path forward for some of those folks who may be in those mid-tier levels, that there is a path forward for them. You have an opportunity through the mentoring pieces of the phased retirement to make sure that the knowledge transfer and the skill sets are actually being developed of that cadre. So I think there are some potential new tools that are in agencies' toolboxes. But again, I think each agency really has to pay attention to this, and I think they have to pay attention to it before it actually happens. And I think that's oftentimes what happens, Francis, is that we don't actually look at our retention or attrition numbers until it's actually too late. So the flow out of an agency is happening, but we don't fully understand why it's happening. And again, I think the partnership has in the past provided some examples of things that agencies ought to be doing, one of those being don't wait to have an exit interview to find out why somebody's leaving. At that point, frankly, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
Agencies ought to be having what some others have termed as stay interviews. Francis, what is it going to take you to stay? Where are you right now when you're thinking about the rest of your career here in this agency or anywhere else? And how can we actually be a part of that? And I think that's actually going to be more and more important as government looks at bringing on some of that entry-level talent and the millennial talent who is actually very, very interested in their development as well. So not to have the conversations in advance of when they're leaving is going to be extraordinarily important for agencies to get on top of.
We just have a minute or so left, Tim. I hear anecdotal evidence, and you and I have discussed this off the air before, that not only is the retirement wave not imminent, it's not happening at all. And the reverse problem is far more likely, I keep hearing from HR people, and that is the SESers and the 15s and to some degree the 14s are staying far longer than in number than they have been expected to. And that maybe what we're seeing here by this large number of 13s, 12s, and 11s leaving is that they're assessing not only where am I going, but who's going in front of me that will even give me an opportunity. And they're deciding, well, if John's going to stay around, if he said he's not going to retire, even though he could have 2 years ago, there's no point in me because that's the job that I see for myself next. Could this start to be maybe a manifestation of that a little bit?
So I think clearly that could be at play. And again, I think that's part of that seeing the path forward. That path forward is, is there going to be good, challenging work in front of me? What are the opportunities for advancement in front of me as well? And clearly, if the people ahead of you are actually staying, you've somewhat taken the approach then that maybe I've hit the ceiling. This is as far as I'm going to go anytime soon. And if that's the case, then it's actually time for me to actually start exploring other opportunities as well. So I think that could, in fact, be part of what's at play.